Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
name. Hallelujah.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be redeemed. To be redeemed. Hallelujah. And I'm not ashamed to tell the world. If anybody asks you just who I am, you can tell them for me. If they don't hear me say it, by you knowing me and who I am and my faithfulness in the Lord, I have seen some of the hardest storms in my life. Oh, yes, I've been up and I've been down. Like they said, my feet, amen, has been leveled to the ground. But one thing I know is because I got Jesus on my side, I am more than a conqueror. And I can tell the world that I am redeemed because Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. He is the one who keeps me from all danger. He is the one that heals my body when I cannot find healing on my own. When the doctor can't do nothing, Jesus does it all. Oh, I thank the Lord tonight that I am able to come into your homes, that you have trusted me, amen, to open up your homes, to allow for me to come, amen, and talk to you about the goodness of the Lord. You just don't know how privileged it is to be able to be used by God. Hallelujah. See, you sitting on one side of this table of salvation and you receiving a meal from me. It's like we're sitting at the supper table and the meal that has been prepared by the Holy Spirit, I feed it to you. But yet, I feel so privileged to be able to feed this spiritual food to you. It reminds me, amen, of my aunt, God bless her soul. She had gone home to the Lord. Flossie Mae, isn't that something? Now, you know that got to be country. But that was her name, Flossie Mae. Aunt Flossie loved to cook, saints. She loved it so much until when she prepared, I'm not talking about a mediocre meal, but I'm talking about she would prepare a meal fit for a king. And she would just bake those pies and the meat, more than just one meat, you know, it was chicken, it was roast, I mean, turkey, whatever that she had in her refrigerator, she did not mind sharing it. And then she would sit and watch you eat, and she would have a smile on her face because every time, you know, we would take a bite of that delicious food, we have that glow on us that we said, Aunt Flossie, this is delicious. And you see, every time I would go down there to visit my people, I would make sure that I would stop at her house because I know I would get fed properly, right, properly. Because you see, the younger generation, they don't cook down there. You know, they got KFC, they got McDonald's and Burger King. They have lost the art of preparing a meal for a visiting family. They prefer to just take you to a restaurant. Well, that's fine. I appreciate that. But I want some home-cooked meals. You know what I'm trying to tell you? There's nothing like home-cooked meals because when it comes from the love of the person who has the love of God in them and they prepare that meal and feed it to you, you are consuming that love that came out of the heart of that cook. You hear me? So that is what I'm saying, is that when I come on every Wednesday on Let Your Light Shine, hallelujah, and the meal that is prepared, which is a spiritual meal, it is prepared with love. It is offered to you with love because I love all of you. more than you can imagine. And so when I know that you are receiving, amen, amen, the blessing that is flowing from these lessons that I teach, that just put a smile on my face. It lets me know that my work is not in vain. And that's how Aunt Flossie used to feel, you know, that her work in the kitchen. And I'm telling you, they didn't have any air conditions down there. No, 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 no. In that little small kitchen, they didn't have no big, large kitchen, a little small kitchen with that stove, and it would be hot. She would be sweating and cooking and fanning, you know, and she would, while everything is in the oven and cooking, she would go out on the back porch under the tree and just let the natural air condition cool her off. But she was satisfied. Why? Because she was doing what a woman's supposed to do. Amen. That's how she was raised, to take care and feed her family. So God bless Aunt Flossie. She's home with the Lord. I had a chance to visit her before she passed away. Amen. I knew that that was going to happen, and the Lord sent me there to bless her, to send her spirit, to send her own. Amen, to send her to the blessings of the Lord, to the bosom of Abraham. So, amen, that's my story there. I could tell a lot of stories that through what makes me who I am today. Amen. I thank the Lord for my ancestry. Amen. Those who put me under their wings and taught me and prepared me to become a spiritual giant, to become a spiritual master. I might not be renowned all over the world, but I tell you one thing, hallelujah, Jesus know me, amen. Jesus and the angels in heaven, they know me, amen. And I'm going to tell you, even the demons in hell know me. They know, hallelujah, that I am a child of God, and they shake and they shiver when I call out the name of Jesus, because they know who I am in Jesus. Isn't that something? Amen, amen. So I thank the Lord for all of you. And that we're going to open up our mics right now and welcome you. If you have your tribute for last week, please tell me where that is and where did you find it. And then we'll move on from there. So we want to say good evening to our own missionary, Tazera. God bless you.
God bless you, Bishop Taylor and Sister Taylor and all the saints that's on the line tonight. And my stepmother, Millie Moore. And I found the tribute in Matthew 18. Mm-hmm. 1-5. It was a little child.
Uh-huh. Well, that is interesting. Yeah. That is very interesting. So that was Matthew 18. And what was the verse again? 1-5. That's right.
Right.
Uh-huh. Amen. Yes, that's it. That's it. And there's other scriptures that's going to also confirm that as well. I'm pretty sure that there are some who also had saw it. But that is correct. I'm looking at it now as we speak. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're truly welcome. Amen. Amen. And we want to say hello to Mother Davis. God bless you.
God bless you, Bishop Taylor. And hello, First Lady Rita Taylor. And all the saints on the line, may God bless you all. I found it the same place in Matthew 18:1-5, where you have to come to the children's are the kingdom of heaven.
That's right. That's right. Amen. God bless you.
Thank
Hallelujah.
you.
You are truly welcome. And we have Evangelist Millie Moore. God bless you.
God bless you, Bishop. God bless you, Missionary Taylor. And God bless to my daughter, goddaughter, Tazara, and her beautiful mom, Sister Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say God is so good. I just want to thank him for life and thank him for his many, many blessings. Thank him for the abundance that he has put up on me and has given me. And I'm just thanking him. I'm just feeling so, so blessed today. God is so good. And just like Mother Davis and my daughter said, it's coming from Matthew 18:1. Starts at Matthew 18:1. And where the disciples had asked him, you know, who is the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus walked over and picked up a child and said, if you like these children, you are the greatest. I'm getting tired on you. But you know what I'm saying. But it's Matthew 18 and 18 starting at verse 1, like Tavera said, verses 1 through 5. You know, and he's telling us that we have to change and become like little children.
That's right.
And if we don't change and become like little children, that we will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. We have to humble ourselves, you know.
And I know it's
hard sometimes for us to humble ourselves, but we just have to humble ourselves because sometimes they might want, you know, sometimes you have to lose their religion, and, you know, I have to catch myself humbling myself all the time. I have to just stay humble and stay prayerful, you know. So I won't lose my religion because it's a mean old world out here. But I just want to tell everybody I love them, and hello to all the other saints on the line, and I just thank God for you. And I was listening to you when you first came on, and I just want you to know that I love you. And I know I've said it more than once, my mentor, my pastor, my counselor, my minister, my brother, you know, you just everything in my life. And I like I tell so many people, I just thank God for you. I thank God for being who you are. I thank God for putting you in my life, you know. And no matter how far that we are apart, you're going to always be a part of my life.
In the spirit
and when we're around each other. Because I know if I'm here and you're there, something's going on with me, you can feel my spirit. And I can also feel yours if something is going on too. And I love that. What I love about you is what no matter what I'm going through, you can feel it, and you will call me. And that's what I love about you. You know, when I tell people stuff like this, they don't believe me. But I've learned down through the years, you can't tell them everything because some don't believe.
That's right.
So you have to be careful how you tell things, you know, because there are some non-believers out here. And I just want to thank God for you and let you know that I love you, and I love you, Sister Rita. I love you, Tazara. I love you, Mother Davis. And I love all the saints on the line tonight.
Amen.
And then I keep my family prayed up. Shakita had surgery yesterday. She's doing okay.
Good.
Just keep my family prayed up and everything.
Okay, Evangelist. God bless you. And thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Amen. And we have Mother Washington. God bless you.
Oh, praise the Lord, Bishop, and Mother Taylor, all the saints that are online. Just want to thank God for another day, another wonderful, beautiful day God has given to us. And little children are the grace in the kingdom of heaven. And we're all little children now. We're still trying to grow.
Yes.
Do better and have better.
Yes.
And I only want to thank
God
more than enough for me. Every time I turn around, Bishop, I am being blessed. And thank you for
Amen.
Your concern. All the saints, when they pray, remember me and my family, please. In Jesus Christ's name. Thank
yes.
you, sir. Have a wonderful day.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. And last and not least, okay, the last four digits, 6155. God bless you.
Yes, God bless you too, Bishop. You and your lovely wife and everybody.
Oh, Sister
yeah.
Carolyn, God bless you.
Sister Carol, right. Yes. I'm asking for prayer for all of our soldiers, not only here in the United States of America, but the ones that had to go over to Syria.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking for a prayer for all of them, and my large prayer is that God will make all wars come to a total end. It bothers me. I mean, it gets into my spirit.
Yes, yes, I understand. Yes, it bothers me too. Amen. All right. But thank you, Sister Carol. It's good to hear your voice.
Yours too, Bishop.
All right. Amen.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Well, thanks. Here we are. We got we're in October already, aren't we? Amen. Into the fall season. And before you know it, we'll be into the winter season. Time just don't wait on no one, does it? It does not stand still. It continues to move on. Amen. And in time, just to encourage all of us, especially you, Sister Carol, about war. And the Bible said before the end, there would be rumors of war. That means that war would be intensified here on earth. Mankind will continue to come against each other, amen, to war against each other and kill each other. Not only just the conventional war, but the most intense war is the spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. And that spiritual warfare is more intense than the natural warfare. And so there's one more war that is going to happen before all wars will be ceased, and that is the Battle of Armageddon. And you can look that up in the book of Revelation, and it speaks about that would be the last battle in which Satan, the devil, and all of his soldiers would finally, amen, will be cast into the lake of fire, which burneth with sulfur and brimstone. That would be the last terrorist, because he's the terrorist, amen. He's the ultimate terrorist, but he's going to be dealt with in God's time. After that, there would be peace. There won't be any more fighting. It says, amen, that the sword would be turned into tools to plant food. And the lamb would lay down with the wolf. Amen. Amen. So there won't be any more predators. That predator spirit, amen, that killing spirit would be wiped away, because it would be nothing but peace. That is when our Lord and God will come here and be among us, and we would be with him. Amen, forever. So that time is coming. Continue, let us all continue to pray for peace. Amen. Continue to pray for peace, because it is coming. Amen. And I'm talking about total peace, not just peace that lasts for a few years and then war breakouts afterwards. No, we're talking about, amen, perfect peace. We're talking about everlasting peace that will come as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ usher it in. All right. Now, let's go over that trivia again. We asked about who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And amen. And you got it right. That was in Matthew's 18th chapter. And I got some more in here too. But we're looking at Matthew's 18th chapter. And let me read from the first verse. Amen. It says that at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "The greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So we must humble ourselves, amen, like a child. Now, that is not always understood or comprehend, because we are adults and we have been adults for so long, we think like adults, amen. We have a difficult time humbling ourselves as a child. Well, what is the spirit of a child? The spirit of a child is a trusting individual that trusts authority. That's how a child should always be. A child that trusts. A child that don't question every thing that is presented before him or she. A child is a person. I'm talking about a child's heart. Now, having a child's heart is that when you're able, hallelujah, to trust in God, amen, and not worry about the worries of the world or the cares of the world. We know, amen, that to humble ourselves as a child, amen, we can be the greatest. In this world that we live in, it's hard to imagine that we can be as humble as a child, but we can if we want to be, if we try harder. We can become as humble as a child. Amen? Now, as some people say, when it's easy to say, then it is done. Yeah, yeah, well, maybe so. But when the Holy Spirit is ruling in us, we become humble. Amen, amen, amen. Because in the scripture, the person who lifts themselves up will be brought down. Amen. But the person who humbles themselves will be lifted up. And that's what Jesus is trying to convey to his disciples, because they often wanted to figure out among themselves who would be greatest, you know, after Jesus, you know. And that's human nature to always try to shine before your time. Amen. But there's a time and a place for everything. Amen. There are ministers. If you know a minister that is humbled, they have a lot of power and authority, and yet they don't flaunt it around. You see what I'm saying? They don't go around bragging about how powerful they are in the Lord. That's because they are humbled. That makes them greater than any minister, amen, in the world. Because you have ministers that have large edifices, thousands of members, you know, and somehow in some way that went to the head, you know, and some ministers have private planes, yeah, well, where they fly wherever that they want to fly, the limousines, they get ushered, what is the word, I'm trying to think of the word for that, but amen, but they get driven wherever they want to go, because they have their own private limousine, you see. So that, if a person isn't careful, amen, it will all go to their head, amen. And when that happens, they lose all sight that who was it that gave them this opportunity to be blessed in the first place. It was the Lord, amen. He is the one that provides. Hallelujah. But, you know, there are times where a person of high status, they forget all about who gave them the blessings in the first place, and they lose sight on where the blessings come from. So what Jesus was saying, he was letting his disciples and his disciples probably didn't understand at that time, but he was letting them know. He used the child as a demonstration. He didn't say it become like a physical child, but he's talking about a heart of a child, the heart, the spirit, a childlike spirit. Amen. Where you're able, when you have that, then the Lord exalts you. The Lord will give you power and authority to do greater things than anyone else could ever perform. Amen. And then, yes, another scripture that I was looking at as well. Let me show you where that's at. I'm going to look at Mark. And Mark says it's basically the same thing, the book of Mark, in the 10th chapter. Let's see here. I'm looking at it now, the 10th chapter, the 13th verse. And Mark is also one of the disciples of Jesus. And to help you to understand, when you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, amen, these are called the Gospels. They give their account according to their understanding of observing the things that Jesus said, okay? Now, here we are, the 13th verse in the 10th chapter of Mark. It said, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. See, that's another thing. When you rebuke a child, and because they are children, you know, they're probably telling the children, get away, you're just a child. You don't know what you're doing. But the children were trying to get to Jesus, you see. Just like the adults were trying to get to him, the children were too. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. That means he was indignant, which means he was angry, concerned. And he said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Okay? Okay, so that's Mark. And then, let's see, I'm going to go back to Matthew's, the 23rd chapter of Matthew's, and it gives a little different account here about the greatest in the kingdom. Okay, and this is profound, too. This is what it means by having a heart of a child. It means to humble yourself. So this is what happened. It says, the greatest among you, this is Jesus speaking from the 11th verse, the greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So they wanted to know. See, the disciples asked who would be the greatest in heaven. Okay? And so Jesus told them, it said, well, the greatest among you will be your servant. And he was letting them know, just as though he came in to serve. He didn't come to rule at that time when he walked the earth. He came to serve. And that's what he did. He served. Hallelujah. He was the one that opened the eyes to the blind. And he was the one that made the lame walk again. He was the one that fed the hungry when they were hungry and gave water to the thirsty. He was serving. He was serving. He was laying hands on the sick so that they can get well. He was serving. Amen. He served. Humbled child of God. He was God himself. God placed himself into the flesh and he came down to earth and he humbled himself. But once he was, amen, an exalted entity in heaven, wearing the crown of glory, and he took that crown off so that he can, amen, be humble like a man, so that he can be hungry like a man. He was cold in the atmosphere like a man. Amen. He was sad at times like a man. He wept. He cried just like a man cried. He felt pain just like a man would feel pain. Isn't that humbleness? Yes, it is humbleness. Amen. That's Jesus. That's why I love him so. That's why I serve him like I serve him. Amen. Because he humbled himself for me. And then Luke, the 9th chapter and the 48th verse, what does it say here? Okay, Luke, 9th chapter and the 48th verse. And people always ask who would be the greatest. I'm going to start from the 46th verse. And, uh-oh, did I lose you? Oh, no, I got you. Okay, I'm going to start from the 46th verse. An argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. See, here they go again. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. Then he said to them, whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is least among you all, he is the greatest. That once again he met humbleness, a person who don't have to wave a flag, who don't have to call the news people when you're getting ready to feed the hungry. Hey man, you hear what I'm saying? You don't have to march through the streets to broadcast that you're going to feed the hungry, or you're going to help a homeless person find some shelter. You do it in secret. The Lord said, whatever you do in secret, amen, that he will bless you that way, amen, among all. See, we got to learn that we don't have to broadcast the good things that we do for others. Now, you know there are people, among the women, the ladies who broadcast things that they do so that they can appear to be great. Yeah, even men do that. You know, when a woman let a friend of theirs wear a pair of shoes that fit them, usually they would broadcast it. They have a way of letting other people know, yes, she's wearing my shoes. Yes, she's wearing my shoes. She came by the house and she liked them, and I gave it to her so that she can have some shoes. But it's not just shoes anymore. Amen. You gave them to your friend, but you wasn't a friend to them because now you brought them down to lift yourself up. What I'm saying, saints, we need to realize that the greatest among all that is in heaven is to be as a little child. It's just humble yourself. Amen. Amen. Just be humble before the Lord. And I tell you, the Lord has a way of exalting you when you're humble. He would put things in your place. And, you know, he would put situations in your life where you would be exalted and where you would do great things. If someone would even be a witness to it and say, I didn't know you can do these things. Why didn't you tell me? You know, and all you say is, well, I don't know. You never asked me, you know, but I'm just an humble servant of the Lord. Amen. That's God loves a humble soul, a humble spirit, because he knows that he can use that individual, amen, to do great things. Yes, yes, he knows that. Amen. He looks into our heart, and he knows who is going to be thankful and faithful unto him. Praise his holy name. I just thank the Lord, amen, for all the great things that he done for me. Amen. I want to remain humble, amen, unto the Lord, because I know as long as I'm humble, he will exalt me. Amen. When I walk into a place, a church, I don't try to get up in a pulpit. I'll sit right there with the rest of the congregation, and if the pastor don't recognize me as being a minister, that's okay. I don't have to sit up in a pulpit. there was times that they did recognize me, and they said, come on up here. And I said, well, I'm all right here with the people. And they said, okay. But at least they invited me. You don't invite yourself, see. You don't come in and invite yourself up in the pulpit and walk up in there. You wait until you are invited, because a person who invite themselves will also be invited out of the pulpit. Amen. Amen. So that is one of the examples of how to be humble in the Lord. When we pray for someone, amen, we don't have to broadcast it. We don't have to call on the phone and say, you know, I've been to the hospital all day long with Sister So-and-so. She hasn't been feeling well, but I went in there and I braided her hair for her, and she wanted some apple pie, and I bought her some apple pie. Hey, Matt, see, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. God sees it. God knows what you did, and that's all that matters. Amen? That's all that matters. People don't have to know, because they pretend like they appreciate at one moment, but they really don't. They really don't care. Amen? But who cares more than anyone about the good things that we do for one another? That is Christ Jesus. He cares. Amen? He cares. Because serving him is through serving others. That's how we serve him. We don't get saved and keep it to ourselves. Remember when Jesus said the greatest among you would be the servant? Yeah, would be the servant. Serve others. Anything you can do to help somebody else, then do it. Amen? And don't worry about anything in return. Your reward is being set up in heaven for the good things that you do for someone who is less fortunate. Amen. God would truly bless you because of that, and he sees it. Amen. So we don't have to get on the phone and call the news people to bring their cameras out and interview us, but all these things, we don't have to do that. Because God sees it, and you know who's already broadcasting it? The angels in heaven. It's been written into the book of judgment. And I tell you, the things that we do has already been written in the book of judgment, so that when we go, amen, to face the Lord after we during the judgment day, and he opened up the book and he'll reveal to us, he'll tell us, he said, that was very nice of you when you went to the nursing home and you helped that person. And I'm going to tell you why, because that person didn't have a family. That person was lonely, but you took your time out to become a family to that individual. I've seen it. I want to let you know it was not in vain. See, those are the things that the Lord would tell us, amen, at the judgment. Oh, yeah, when we stand before him, doing for judgment. Amen. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's there in the Bible. You'll see. You will see. So we thank the Lord for this lesson tonight. Who would be the greatest? I'm going to repeat something else to you for our next tribute. Amen. For next week. And then, you know, periodically through our lesson tonight, I'm going to repeat that to you. But name Moses' father-in-law, his father-in-law, and what did his father-in-law do for Moses so that Moses would not be worn out? Amen. So he wouldn't wear himself out. I'll repeat it again. What is the name of Moses' father-in-law? And what did that father-in-law do for Moses so that he would not wear himself out? Amen. What advice, in other words, did he give Moses? There we go. Let me repeat it again. What is the name of Moses' father-in-law? Moses, that's right, his father-in-law. And what did his father-in-law do and what advice did he give? Yeah, what advice did he give Moses so that Moses would not wear himself out? All right. Thank you, Jesus. That is the tribute for next Wednesday. I want to say that we had a wonderful service last week on Sunday, and I'm enjoying it, and we're going to have another wonderful service this coming Sunday, and then let the members know it's going to be warm, because we already told, amen, the landlord, amen, that it was cold last Sunday, amen. They said they turned the heat on, but that was no heat coming out. That was cold air coming out of those vents. Amen. But I was up there earlier this week. I believe it was Monday, the day after Sunday, and the heat was on. Amen. So it felt good, let me tell you. And I got a little sick after that, too. I got a condition that cold is not good for me if I stay in it too long. Amen. But I feel much better today. Amen. I had to go to urgent care yesterday. Wednesday, Tuesday. Yes, I did. I went to urgent care yesterday, and they gave me some medicine for that. I feel much better now. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't like being sick. Amen. I like being on my feet and having the energy to do the work for the Lord. Amen. But I tried my best to be strong yesterday, but I stayed in bed. Amen. Yes, I did. But what a difference each day makes. Hallelujah. What a difference. Saints, I'm going to let you know that just to hold on, there's going to be times where our health is going to fail us. But I'm going to let you know that if we crave to the Lord and ask him to heal us, he can do it. Amen. Yes, he can. I remember saying that we got to eat better. Last week I was talking about that. It makes a big difference on how you eat. That's what the doctor told me, too. I have to kind of change my diet. Amen. It's better to eat more baked foods. Amen. And I'm going to do that. Amen. I already love vegetables. I don't eat a lot of meat anyway. I'm a vegetable person. I like my greens, fresh greens and cabbages, and, you know, green beans, corn. I like that. Amen. So they told me that was good for me to continue that. My blood pressure was good. Amen. Blood pressure, my temperature was normal. Attack that was on me. You know, the enemy attacks us. Amen. Trying to keep us from doing the work of the Lord. So I knew I was under attack. Amen. But there's no weapon that is formed against me that can prosper in the Lord. Amen. That's right. Because he is my sword and my shield. He protects me from harm and danger. He would allow for things to happen to us, not to bring us down, but to strengthen us. Amen. You know, the more victories you have in your life, the stronger your faith becomes. Did you know that? Yeah. Yeah, but how can you have a victory if you never have anything to have victory over? Don't that make sense? Yeah, but we don't think that all the time, but yeah. How can you have a victory, say that you're victorious, but you never to be victorious? Huh. That don't add up, does it? That's just like a soldier when on his uniform he got all kind of medals, you know, ribbons and plastered across his chest, and people who don't know think that maybe he is a great soldier. He done fought so many battles on the battlefield, and a great soldier. Now he's back home, amen, and so he wearing those awards that he got, you know, and the ribbons and everything. Well, He's not a soldier. He's not a soldier at all. He bought those medals. He cheated, and he don't know anything about battles. Well, there are people like that, aren't there? Well, just use that as a demonstration to let you know that when you go through some spiritual warfare, you continue to praise the Lord all the way through it, and God will give you the victory. Then you will have a testimony. Yes, you will have a testimony that you can give. It will help somebody else, amen, encourage them to let them know, oh, my God, if the Lord can do that for her or him, I know the Lord can do it for me. See, that's what the Lord, that's why he allowed for us to go through some storms and walk through the valleys or the shadows of death so that we can have a testimony, a victory. Like the song we sang, victory is mine, victory is mine, victory today is mine. I told Satan to get me behind, victory today is mine. Hallelujah. That song is so beautiful, but it's very powerful at the same time if you really listen to the words. I told Satan to get behind me. That's how victory is mine. Hallelujah. When you tell the devil to get behind you, amen, and he does it, you got victory. You got victory. So we thank the Lord for victory in my body. Amen. For victory in my body. I thank God for victory in our finances. Yeah, we pray for our finances, amen, to have victory in that. Amen. It's not easy to work from paycheck to paycheck or check to check and trying to make ends meet to pay your rent, your bills, and buy food and all that at the same time. Hallelujah. But see, there's a prayer for that, which is in the 23rd Psalm. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But the part of that is that he anoints my head with oil and my cup runneth over. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Amen, amen, amen. He prepares a table before me, a table filled with whatever you want to be on that table. All you got to do is just use your imagination. What would you put on that table? What would you think that Lord, what do you think the Lord has on that table? Because the Lord prepares the table. Amen. And in front of our enemy, that's the victory. In spite of who tried to hold you back, you know, it might be a neighbor, it might be your brother, whoever, it might be your mother, whoever, who tried to hold you back. But the Lord has a way of giving you victory in their face. I mean, how do you say it? Say, in your face? Amen. In your face, Satan. Amen. You cannot make me sick and carry me through this. In your face, I'm getting better and better. Every breath that I breathe is my healing breath. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. We have a sister, Evelyn McCallum. She never had a chance to, amen, to dial in. Evelyn McCallister, I ordained her years ago. She have a group called the Family Travelers, and we got reconnected. And so she calls me from time to time. Sometimes I go by and drink tea with her and speak with her and bless her home. Well, she want a financial blessing. She asked to pray for that. And I told her that she would see a breakthrough in 3 days. She said, I believe it. See, that's faith. She said, I believe it, Bishop. You said 3 days, it's going to happen. So I told it because the Spirit told me to tell her, you are going to receive a financial breakthrough in 3 days. Anyone that needs a financial breakthrough, all you got to do is wave your hand right now. And I send you the same prophecy that you will have your financial blessing in 3 days. Amen. I bless you that. That the words that's coming out of my mouth are from the Spirit of the Lord. It's not going back in vain, but it's out there now, and it will not come back undone. That you, under the sound of my voice, that wave your hand. Amen. Your financial breakthrough has already begun, but it will reach its maturity in 3 days. Amen. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Yes, he is. Remember now, we're still trying to help our Pakistani ministry with Bibles and verses, materials, and I need some funds. I need you all to help me. Amen. My post office box is 3158. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember my own post office box. That's 815033. That's it. 815033. That's the post office box, and it's in Westland, Michigan, 48185. 48185. Send what you can in care of our ministry in Pakistan. We want to send them some more Bibles. Oh, yeah. Thank God for that. I'll be speaking to them Friday at 9:30 in the morning. But with them at that time, it's 6:30 in the evening. But we talk through what they call Skype. Amen. We use Skype where we're able to give the Bible studies every Friday. So we thank the Lord for that honor that has been given unto me to be able to do that for the saints there. Hallelujah. Well, may the Lord bless and keep all of you. And remember your financial blessings. Amen. In 3 days, you are going to have your breakthrough. You know why? Because God can do anything. That's why.
How many of y'all believe that God can do anything but fail?
And for those who will be with me Sunday, I'll see you at the Sunday service at 12 p.m. God bless you.